3-6. Well done.
Get into the Chiefs like D4.
I want to be a Chief forever.
Hello and welcome to Chiefs Blueprint. I'm your host, Pete Sweeney, and this is Chiefs reporter BJ Kissel. BJ, we're a little bit less than 3 weeks away from the 2015 draft, and as we march closer, we're focusing on the men behind the scenes making these decisions. Fans are familiar with general manager John Dorsey, but another major player in the process is director of player personnel, Chris Ballard.
You're exactly right. Chris Ballard is one of the up-and-coming personnel guys in the NFL. Now, he oversees the college and pro personnel department, so he works closely with Director of Pro Personnel Will Lewis and Director of College Scouting Marvin Allen. Now, before he came to Kansas City, Ballard spent 12 years with the Chicago Bears. During those 12 years, he was a part of four division title teams. Now, prior to Chicago, he had 7 years experience coaching the college level at Texas A&M Kingsville under Hall of Fame coach Ron Harms. He joined the Chiefs in 2013 as the Director of Player Development, and Pete, I'll tell you, the Chiefs are lucky to have him.
Well, the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus, had an opportunity to sit down with Chris this week. Here's that discussion.
Wide receiver Jeremy Maclin has agreed to reunite with
Chiefs trade for two-time Pro Bowl guard Ben Grubbs.
First of all, they also signed a handful of their own free agents, inside linebacker Josh Malga.
Ron Parker signed to a long-term deal over the
week. They signed Oakland safety Tyvon Branch, Arizona offensive lineman Paul Tanika, and they also...
Chris, there's a lot of excitement around here. You were a part of two teams that got to the NFC Championship game with the Chicago Bears. Are there any similarities, or what similarities are there between what's going on here now and what you went through in Chicago?
Very similar in a lot of ways in terms of the way we're building the team. I mean, when we're coming in here, Coach Reed and John both have a philosophy of building the teams up front, making sure you're strong up front, and which we're in the process of doing. Both teams in Chicago that went to NFC Championship games and one that ultimately went to the Super Bowl, where both teams were very good up front. And also very good defensively. Since we've been here the last 2 years, been one of the top defenses in the league.
Paul eats him up! Beats him at the 19-yard line! Don Terry!
You always lose guys, you gain guys, you want to keep the guys you want to keep. Where's this team at with the comings and the goings of free agency?
You never get to keep everyone you want to keep just because of the salary cap and the way things work out. So losing Rodney, great teammate, great player, happy for him. But we had a young guy in the wings in Kush who we think's got a bright future.
Let's go! Let's go!
Being able to keep our own guys, Ron Parker, Josh Mwaga, I thought those were big signings and able to keep them on our team. And then going out and getting Jeremy Maclin, you know, a big play wide out that can create explosive plays. And what was so unique about Jeremy is being able to get a guy that our coaching staff knew and is able to plug him right in, and that's rare in free agency. And then also being able to add the two offensive linemen, Grubbs and Faneca, are big additions to our team.
One thing is to talk about free agency. Now, the importance of building through the draft based on your experience. And then let's talk about this draft in specific.
John's philosophy and coach's philosophy has always been, we're going to take the best player available. We just think for the long-term future of the organization and for the team, you want to take guys that are going to be on your team for their, you know, for their contracts. And how you do that, when you start reaching up and taking needs, you end up passing good players. So we're always going to try to do the best we can and take the best player how we have them ranked. And I think every draft has good players. Everybody talks about draft depth and at this position, there's enough colleges in this country. There's enough good players. We're going to get our fair share.
He's throwing long. He's got Wilson. Near side. Down to the Raider 29-yard line.
A huge part of success in this league is finding the non-drafted college player. You and I are both excited about Albert Wilson.
Yep.
And what he can potentially do for this
Absolutely.
Team.
Absolutely.
Let's go into that dynamic in and of itself, because we get so fired up about the drafts. We have mock drafts. We look at the first day, second day. And then it's the wild free-for-all to find the Albert Wilsons of the world. What goes into that?
We evaluate everybody. When we meet in February, we cut the list back, and then we're evaluating every player, whether it's a first pick of the draft and whether he's an undrafted free agent. And the great thing about this league and the great thing about our coaching staff is it doesn't matter where you come from. It matters how you perform. And if you perform well in practice and you perform well all the way through OTAs, the training camp, the preseason, we want to put the best 11 on the field. So it didn't matter where you come from. Both years we've been pretty active finding guys by just studying the tape. I mean, we look and we study the tape and we study every prospect. We're trying not to let anybody slip through the cracks.
Watching that interview, it's exciting to see Chris Ballard so enthusiastic about the possibilities in the draft. And BJ, with 10 draft picks, the Chiefs have a lot of options.
They really do, Pete. And I loved a lot of things that he said, but none more than the fact that he said they're going to build this team through the draft. Because that's the same thing you'll hear from John Dorsey and Andy Reid anytime that they're asked. And Chris Ballard was a part of the group that came in here between 2012 and 2013 and added 30 new players. During that time, the Chiefs pulled off the greatest single-season turnaround as far as wins in franchise history. Now, he said they're going to build this team up front first, which makes a lot of sense because 9 of their last 14 draft picks over the last 2 years have been up front players. So with 10 picks this year, this is an exciting time for the future of this franchise.
Yeah, and it's especially exciting as you've seen it the past couple years. Guys like D'Anthony Thomas, Nile Davis, and Zach Fulton have all made an impact early on in their careers.
You're exactly right. Everybody knows what D'Anthony Thomas did last year. He won the Chiefs Rookie of the Year Award. And then Zach Fulton, he was the first 6th or 7th round rookie to start for the Chiefs in week 1 in more than 35 years, going all the way back to cornerback Steve Taylor in 1976. Now, it's not always normal for guys to step in and produce right away. A lot of times you'll see players in their second or third year of development really step in and play right away and play well. But when you're going to build a team through the draft, naturally you're going to have some young guys step up and produce. And luckily, the Chiefs have had that the last couple years.
Coming up, we'll have much more about one of those recent Chiefs draft picks BJ is talking about, a guy who shined in the spotlight for the Chiefs in 2014, both during the play and after it. Stay with us. Thank you for joining us. BJ, think about this for a second. 5 touchdowns, a team leading 862 yards on 67 receptions. That's an impressive stat line for any tight end. But Travis Kelce's 2014 season is even more remarkable when you remember it was essentially his rookie year.
You're exactly right. He had just one special team snap in 2013 before going on IR with that knee injury, so it doesn't really count as a season. And I recently talked with Chiefs trainer Rick Burkholder about Kelce and everything he had to overcome to put the kind of numbers that you just talked about. And he told me that it was assistant trainer David Glover is the one who actually worked with Kelce throughout that rehab process and got him ready to go. And we saw him play at a very high level, like you mentioned. He had 512 yards after the catch and all those receiving yards you talked about. That was number 1 in the NFL among tight ends. We saw some pretty memorable blocks he made out in space, particularly the one in the Seahawks game against Earl Thomas. So you want to keep seeing that development from him. And I know the Chiefs are probably going to count on him to be a huge contributor for them in 2015.
Yeah, and again, when a player's injured early in his career, questions about durability always seem to arise. And as the 2014 preseason got underway, all eyes were on the second-year tight end without a start to his name.
My expectations for Travis were pretty low, to be honest with you, just because you had heard good things about his ability, but he never got on the field.
I don't think there really were expectations. I think there was hope, and that's different. You know, usually hope's a bad thing, but he proved it right away.
He opened a lot of people's eyes in that preseason game against Cincinnati where he ran away for, it was like an 80-yard pass or something. And he's a tight end running away from defensive backs.
Daniel, 3 eligible to the right, in the pocket. Fires a pass, he's got Kelce open, 45-40, Kelce in the open field. He outruns every Bengal, chasing him. Touchdown, Kansas City, Travis Kelce, a tight end, showing the speed of a wide receiver. He outran Cincinnati.
You know, this guy was coming off a knee injury, and he outran an entire secondary. I remember watching that going, holy smokes.
That was the first time where I thought, oh, you know, okay, now I see what everybody's talking about.
It was clear that, number 1, he could stretch the field from that tight end spot. And number 2, he's going to get literally every inch that he can get because he's not just looking to get down to the ground. He's looking to get across the goal line.
To me, that's when I thought, wow, you know, if this guy can stay healthy and he's that big and he's that fast, then look out, the Chiefs got something.
Asano left. Kelce right. Throws it near side. It's caught by Kelce. Crossing pattern. Inside the 10. He dives for the near front pylon. Touchdown. And Travis Kelce, it's your first National Football League touchdown. Caught by Kelce in traffic at the 20. What a catch by Kelce. Kelce over the shoulder. Makes the catch.
Obviously, he was the breakout guy.
Kelce inside the 20. Up the field of the 10. First and goal, Kansas City.
Kelsey's impressive.
He showed
that he is going to be a dynamic player for years to come, because Travis led the Chiefs in explosive plays of 20 yards or more with 13. There's not many tight ends that are going to be able to have that many plays over 20 yards that's not named Jimmy Graham or Rob Gronkowski.
Slant caught by Kelsey inside the 10, hangs on inside the 5, touchdown Kansas!
You know, there are a lot of tight ends that can move the chains with a hook pattern. The elite tight ends are the ones that catch the ball while moving.
Caught by Kelsey at the 20, 15, peels inside the 10, Travis Kelsey, first down!
Travis Kelsey goes after the football as well as anybody out there.
So you know when Travis gets the ball, he's going to try to take it the distance, or he's at least going to make a play that is going to move the chains.
Without Travis Kelsey, there's nobody in the middle of the field to do some of the things that he does, and the offense doesn't get going nearly as well as it did.
Alex Smith puts Kelsey in motion to the right. They're going to throw it. Alex Smith steps up, fires it. He's got Kelsey first down at the 30. What a catch by Kelsey in traffic, and what a gutsy throw by Alex Smith.
The two things, the biggest things I think for Travis Kelsey to improve on is his blocking and, you know, for lack of a better term, just focus.
But that focus has got to continue all the way through a play and a game. And his energy is certainly electric. But sometimes he kind of gets to the energy part before the play's done.
If he can be a better blocker and be, you know, an every down tight end, you know, I think that can be a good thing for him and the Chiefs.
That first NFL game, it's different. I know you kick it in college, and some guys kick it at a really high level with, you know, more fans in the stands than are even in most NFL stadiums. But still, there's an adjustment period for everyone.
Kansas City will be getting the opening kickoff from their former kicker, Ryan Succop.
So I remember overthinking so many things that game. I wanted to do well. You see the cameras and all over. You know that everybody's watching. Just the responsibility, it feels different.
A 35-yard attempt here for Cairo Santos, who won the
first. Was a short field goal that I was playing the wind way too much.
Down by Santos, and he kicks it and hits the right upright, and it's still good.
He was nervous. You know, there's no question. It's a big difference between preseason and regular season game when the whole stadium's full and everybody's counting on you to be that guy.
A 48-yard attempt. Santos was nervous on his first field goal to attempt as a Chief, and Santos lines it up, and it hits the left upright this time. It's no good.
It was an ominous start, no doubt.
This will be a 37-yard attempt, 20 plays in this drive. Santos, high-spinning kick is up, and he missed it.
The fan reaction was, you know, what kickers are available? Why didn't you stay with the veteran? You know, what are you doing going down this road with a young kicker?
Time, though, to bring in some competition, or what do you think?
No, he just, listen, when he settles down, he kicks it fine. He's got to do that. He's
impressively, the Chiefs' reaction was to stay the course, and Andy Reid was very steady and never wavered and always showed great confidence in him.
And I said this to somebody. I said, if we brought five kickers in from the street right now and he was one of them, he'd still be the best kicker out of that group. So we still believe in Cairo.
It was a learning process those 2 weeks. I knew that patience runs out in the NFL, so I needed to really get something going. We watched film and we saw a lot of anxiety in my demeanor throughout the game. I was lifting my head as soon as I was making contact with the ball, and that made me push a couple kicks.
Whatever happens in the past, a make or a miss, you just have to, you know, watch film, see what you did, and move on to the next kick.
Cairo Santos, who's been in the crosshairs of the two Chiefs watches so far, will kick it off.
You know, a kicker is not defined by one kick.
Placement is down. The kick is up by Santos. Nails it.
Everyone's going to make mistakes. Every position makes mistakes. But the guys that are able to put that behind you, the next kick is the most important kick.
And that kick is good.
It's how you respond to that.
He was able to bounce back from hitting the upright and struggling on some kickoffs. And he was able to get into a routine where we made, you know, several kicks in a row. That says a lot.
Novak has hit 30 field goals in a row. Placement is down, and Novak, who has been just automatic for this team, he's got enough leg, and he's got it. The game is tied at 157 remaining on a 49-yard field goal by former Chiefs kicker Nick Novak.
I remember when Novak hit that field goal to tie the game. Okay, it's on. Coach Tome came to me and said, you're going to win this game for us. And I said, I want it. I want to.
Any close game, you're thinking, you know, that could be a possibility, and so was he. He never really made a game winner yet, so, I mean, sooner or later, he's going to have to be in that situation.
I know a lot of people are saying they better get it pretty close. Smith better get him down, you know, knocking on the door for this one to work, because it's the rookie that's going to take a shot at it.
Clock moving at 20-20 tie. Alex Smith's mobility keeping this alive. Four-man rush, slant. Kelsey's got it. Breaking a tackle. Now two. He's down to the 38 of San Diego.
In Kansas City inching closer. Clock continues to run.
And right now, John Pagano's defense is leaking oil.
20-20 tie. 48 seconds. Alex Smith out pattern. Caught by Kelsey. Makes a man miss. Darts inside. Gets down to the 30-yard line.
Chiefs down to their final timeout, and they will use it right here.
Here comes young Cairo Santos.
And they leave it to a 48-yard field goal. And there was some disappointment the offense couldn't get it closer. And I would say that there was a feeling that Santos had about a 10% chance at best. I mean, there was very little optimism that he was going to put that kick through.
And this would be placed down at the 38. It will be a 48-yard attempt with 26 seconds remaining in the game.
We line up. They don't have any timeouts, so I know it's this is happening. It's go time.
Can't overstate the importance of this game. Gafford, the long snapper. Colquitt to hold. Santos from 48 yards.
Placement is down. Santos, strong leg, going right to left. The kick is up, and the kick is good! He got it! Asoche Ebol, Portuguese, for it's up, and it's good. The Brazilian kicker, a right-to-left hook shot for 48 yards out. The Chiefs have a 23-20 lead.
I saw that it started a little bit right of where I was aiming, but as soon as he took that turn inside, I just looked at Dustin, and then he had his hands up.
How confident were you going up to him?
Pretty confident. Had a couple kicks in a row now, so that helps the confidence. And I was just calm and hitting the ball well.
And how bad do you need something like this, a clutch kick, a game?
I just, from now on, you know, I'm trying to make every kick. So, and I'm just, the opportunity's come, and I just want to keep making them.
The kid won the job, and so I felt like he was going to make it. I mean, that's just, he's made the opportunities that he's had here over the last couple games, and he was due for an opportunity like this, and, you know, he stepped up.
Welcome back to Chiefs Blueprint. Well, big news out of one Arrowhead last week as the Rolling Stones announced they'll be coming to Arrowhead in June. BJ, I know you won't want to miss this one.
No, Pete, I won't. And the Rolling Stones may not have played a concert at Arrowhead since 1975, but growing up at Arrowhead Stadium, going there every Sunday with my dad, I heard Start Me Up before every kickoff of every game. It was just one of those memories and one of those traditions I'll always remember. I can't wait to hear them sing it in June at Arrowhead Stadium.
Yeah, and if you can't get no satisfaction from a Rolling Stones concert, I've got mixed emotions about being friends with you. It's only rock and roll.
Well played, Pete.
Trust me, I know. Anyway, that's it for the show. We'll have plenty more next week as the NFL draft draws closer. And BJ, as we know, it's gut check time.
It is. The personnel staff, all those guys, they're finalizing their draft boards. We see these guys in the offices every day. We know how much time and effort they're putting into it. I'm looking forward to the payoff of all the hard work they're putting into it right now. They have 10 draft picks in this upcoming draft. They can do a lot of different things with those. Now, the goal of building a championship football team starts with the draft. Couldn't be a more exciting time.
We'll be sure to keep you updated as the NFL draft gets closer here on Chiefs Blueprint. Be sure to follow us throughout the week on kcchiefs.com for exclusive interviews, features, and analysis. You can follow us on Twitter, at Chiefs Reporter, and at PG Sween, and we'll be here every week breaking down the Chiefs 2015 offseason. For BJ Kissel, I'm Pete Sweeney. Thanks for joining us on Chiefs Blueprint. We'll see you next week.